This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, sevillepodcast.com.
It's an honor to welcome to this studio Bill Walters of Walter Home Builders, online at walterhomebuilders.com. How are you, Bill? It's good to see you.
Hey, Coy, how you doing?
Very, very good. I want to get your thoughts about home building and this economy. I just see you as one of those people who's on the front line of the real estate, you know, like realtors and home builders. Y'all are just taking it on the chin, and you have a unique perspective about what's going on. But let's back up and just start with a 101 first. Bill Walters, 101, where are you from?
Okay. I grew up over in the Shenandoah Valley and went to school at Bridgewater College and then took a couple of jobs with big factory companies, DuPont and American Sign, and came to Charlottesville in 1974 to get started.
1974, it was a very different little sleepy little college town.
Yeah,
it was
much smaller and very, very interesting, but a lot of fun always. Charlottesville is the best place to be.
Now, back in 74, when you came over the mountain, I'm trying to think, it just went up to the drive-in theater there at Hydraulic, didn't it? I mean, the Ridge Drive-In, and then there wasn't much past that.
Yeah, it's a lot different than it is today. You only had a few places to eat. And today, you know, you can really enjoy dinner out, nice glass of wine. Oh, wonderful place.
And 74, of course, was the year they voted to create a little something we call the Downtown Mall.
Yeah,
which
did.
Was just getting underway when you came over.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. It was. And the Omni was a big hoorah.
Yep.
It was a lot of fun.
We're talking with Bill Walters, walterhomebuilders.com. So how did you get into home building?
Well,
I mean, were you as a kid?
Well, it's a long story, but basically I started off in real estate, and I just kept graduating more toward that liking to build process. Sold a lot of homes for some of the builders locally and then got started in the building and just kept on going, and I'm here today still building.
So what
we'll be building, I think, for the next 10 years. The way it's going.
So what now? What does Walter Builders specialize in? I mean, is there any particular thing that you?
The thing that I have enjoyed the most is working with people 101 to have them just dump out everything on the table, bring it in, dump it out on the table, and we discuss what they want. And I draw my plans. Having a CAD program has allowed me to do that.
Yeah.
And some people bring in their architect's plans, and then I let the architect make the changes that they want.
How have you seen those ideas change over the years? I'm curious how dream houses have changed. What are some of the biggest changes you've seen from what people want in a home?
It used to be that people had more moderate taste, and just like their cars with the huge bumpers on them, the entry foyer in a house became an atrium that was 20 feet tall, and they couldn't even reach up enough to change a light bulb. It's things like that we've been bad stewards of our economy, of our resources, I believe. I've always liked small homes, cottages. And I'd like to see people return to that, try and make more do with taking their space and utilizing it better.
Yeah.
Just making a big box, you know, with lots of space doesn't necessarily make it a cozy home.
Right.
And people need housing in our area. They need it in every area, and we're simply not delivering that.
I've seen, I know friends of mine who are a little bit younger who are building, you know, building their dream house, and it's like, you know, 1,800 square feet, very green. Mm-hmm. You know, they said that, I don't want a McMansion. I just want something that's that has the space I need right now and isn't, you know, all over the place with the staircases everywhere. And
1,800 square feet is back where we are now headed, I think. We have been as an average at about 2,300 to 2,700 square feet, and we're drifting back to a smaller house. But the house could start out even smaller than that. You know, if you were a young family just starting and you could get your foothold in the market, and then if you stayed there and paid the extra payment once a month, if you could, or a couple of times a year, you'd be so much further ahead. And this is the thing that, you know, the banks don't tell you that. You don't usually learn it in school until you're out trying to figure out how to get to the next house. And so I think it's the kind of thing where if people had better education and the planning process, as well as being green you know, everybody's talking about this today, but to really practice it and put it into effect, I think you have to look at a house that you might build and build it in such a way that you could add on to it.
Yeah,
you don't necessarily have to pack up and pay $12,000 to move across town. If you're in a nice area and it's growing and the friends are there, the community would be better served if people could kind of maintain that community like they used to be.
Yeah, stay in the stay in the same neighborhood for a while and raise your kids there.
Yeah. And that's something that we have lost a great deal of in our society today.
Yeah.
And I know it's because there's a lot of, you know, people change jobs like, what is it now, 8 times in their lifetime as an average. But I just think that we're going to definitely change because of energy and because of the way that we're going to have to live in the future.
I mean, those changes are coming whether you like them or not.
Yeah, they're coming, and they're coming fast. And I think that we need to look at the way we develop our land, like to have a 5-acre parcel, because that's what we do to promote the countryside here, is insane. That 5-acre parcel could have been served 2 nice homes very nicely without tearing everything down.
2.5-acre lot's pretty big.
It's a big lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of space. And then there, like in certain parts of the country, they have accessory dwelling units, ADUs they're calling them. And here in Albemarle County, if you wanted to build one of those, they'll let you do it, but you can't use it for rental, for example. Well, why not? If you're out in the country and you've got 2 acres, I could think of a couple of firemen that would love to live in something like that to get started to have a place that's close by.
And that's a huge issue, too. We're talking with Bill Walters, walterhomebuilders.com. There's so many people now who just can't get into the market. I'm thinking of school teachers, firemen, police officers.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you right now, you go drive around in some of those neighborhoods over in the valley in Waynesboro or Fishersville, you'll see, you know, Albemarle County police cars.
Yeah.
I mean, they're having to live over there because that's where they can afford to buy a house.
Yeah, it's like the old FHA homes in the past. You know, our government was so brainy, they just decided, well, we'll really help people get a home. Only trouble is we'll build them 70 miles from town because the land's cheap. And now they can pay $300 a month in gas driving an old car because they can't afford any better. And we'll see how that works for them. Well, it obviously worked pretty crummy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
how do you fix that? I mean, you're one of those guys out there actually creating these neighborhoods.
Well,
what do we do?
If you took, for example, some of this proffered land that deals that the county pushes people into to developers, kind of a way of extortion, I think, sometimes. I think that they could take maybe that land and put apart some of it that would be to small cottage-type homes. And
truly affordable homes.
Yes.
Versus the $400,000 affordable
homes. I'm talking about homes that might get into the $200,000, $250,000 range and no more. The land cost, you know, it used to be a rule of thumb, if you could try to keep your land ready to go, a lot with the utilities ready to go, you had 25% in it in land. And now, so nowadays, if you have a $100,000 lot, you're going to wind up with a $400,000 house.
Yeah.
And the other part of it is banks, and I don't know, they don't look very smart these days, but they had it in their infinite wisdom that they don't want to have anything but a 3-bedroom house or better for their security interest. And, you know, a lot of people don't want a 3-bedroom house. They don't need it for one thing. And when people's kids leave, they sure look kind of maroon, stuck there in a 5,000-square-foot house for only 2 people bumping around in it.
Right, right.
You know? So I have a hard time with a lot of these standards that push people to have to spend the maximum amount to get into a home.
Yeah.
I think it's wrong, and I would like to work very hard with any group or organization that would ever want to try and change it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never found any body, though, usually people don't have the time to try and do that. I know land's expensive and you've got to get the most out of what you can do and what you pay for it, but I just think that auxiliary housing units on land that's big enough, perhaps in a county, could help solve this problem, stimulate the building industry, and give young people a place to live for the next 5 to 10 years till they get a foothold going, because they'll save a lot in gas, they'll save a lot in time and energy.
Yeah.
And their kids will be in a better school system, perhaps.
And those people, I'm a big believer in those people who are on the front lines in our community, the school teachers, the firemen, the police officers, those are the people that, you know, the emergency room technicians, all these folks, they're literally on the front lines in our community trying to make it better every day. That's what they do for a living. They should be able to live in this community.
Yes.
They shouldn't have to drive to Fishersville or down to Fluvanna.
Or worse yet, they have to live with three other roommates to make something affordable for themselves, and that's not conducive to having a good family life or anything else.
Yeah,
and I think we need to look at that harder, and we're not doing it fast enough. We need to be looking at how we can maximize housing that looks nice and is well positioned and follows these green concepts and things, and be a little smarter about how we utilize the existing land without overdoing it. I don't want to see Elmore County turned into D.C., but at the same time, I don't think I see any sense on having a 10 and 15 and 20-acre parcels with one house on it. I just don't understand. I mean, if you want 20 acres, great, but to be forced to take it because that's the only way you're going to get the land in a nice place, I think that's definitely wrong.
We're talking with Bill Walters of WalterHomeBuilders.com. Bill, let me ask you this before I let you go. What do you think it is that most people don't get or don't understand about what you do, about the business you've been in now for decades?
Well, I guess I don't know if they don't understand. All they have to do is call the number or go on the websites better at WalterBuilders.com and just leave a message, and I'll get back to you. And then I'll be happy to explain it.
Bill Walters, WalterHomeBuilders.com. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate
it. You're welcome.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.